This is Messenger Insight, a podcast program brought to you by Oklahoma Baptist and the Baptist Messenger.
Welcome to a special edition of Messenger Insight. I'm here at the table with Joe Ligon and Stephen Rummage and Doug Melton, and we're continuing to talk to you about leading and serving in a local church in the midst of this COVID-19 coronavirus pandemic. And in a previous podcast, we talked generally about the elements involved in an online service of worship. And in this edition, we want to speak specifically about preaching an online service or preaching to an empty room. And it occurred to us that Dr. Rummage had a lot of experience on that matter. That really lends itself to so many jokes. Yeah, preaching to an empty room. No, actually, a few days ago, I called Dr. Rummage. I have so much respect for him, and he's not only a great pastor, but a seasoned preaching professor, a PhD in the field. And I asked him if he could share with us some insight about preaching to that virtual audience, preaching to the camera, preaching when there's not people there giving you feedback. And he's actually produced an article that Baptist Press has run and that we've got it up in some of our social media. And I thought this would be a great time to ask Dr. Rummage to speak to us about some practical pointers on preaching to that empty room as we produce these online services of worship.
Well, thank you, Brother Hance. And, you know, it's a tough thing to preach looking into that camera without an audience in front of you, without the feedback that we're used to. It's artificial, and it seems artificial. It's outside of what most of us have ever done. And yet right now, that's where we find ourselves, what we find ourselves needing to do is to learn how to preach to that video camera when we're being broadcast online. So as I began to think about this, I just put together some thoughts that I'm keeping in mind as I'm preaching to the video camera, and things that I think may help other pastors as well. So I just walked through them. The first thing is make your delivery as personal as you can. And I think this is a real advantage for us as we preach online, is that we can personalize the message and maybe make the message more intimate in our delivery than we're able to when we're preaching in church, because we're not talking to a big group of people. We're really talking to individuals. So look for ways to make your delivery personal. Some things that I think are important, that is to maintain eye contact with that camera as much as you can. Reduce your notes. If you can get rid of your notes altogether, that's helpful. Be aware of your facial expression, because all those things are amplified. Everything about your nonverbals are amplified when you're preaching for the camera. Make it as personal as you can. And I think I'll sort of get into some of that as well in the second point. Number two, keep in mind how people are going to be watching you. Most people are going to be watching these live streams, or if they're watching it later, they're going to be watching by themselves with their computer or with a handheld device. They might be watching with their family members. Some of them may be getting together in groups of three, four, five, or six, but it's probably not going to be many more people than that. And most of the time, it's going to be one person watching. So think about that. Think about the way you're communicating. It's not public communication like the pulpit usually is. It's interpersonal, intimate communication. And so that not only has to do with the way you present yourself and the eye contact and all of those things, it has to do with the language that you use. Instead of talking to a group, think about talking to an individual. And I would also say, there would be people who would, I'm sure, disagree with me on this, but that's fine. I would say that it is better to create some type of environment where it's you talking to that camera in a more intimate situation rather than you behind the pulpit in the auditorium pretending like you're preaching to a congregation. Everybody knows you're not preaching to a congregation. So instead of imagining that there's a whole congregation in front of you, being on the platform, walking back and forth, doing all the things that would be effective in communication when there's a group in front of us, instead of doing that, imagine that you're talking to one person, just like I'm talking to one person right now, and use second person singular pronouns, talk about you and your, and make the application very personal.
So, Dr. Rummage, are you suggesting that maybe instead of standing, you're sitting in a chair?
Maybe, although for me, and I thought about that, I just feel more awkward when I'm sitting. So, I stood, but what we did was we said, okay, let's get a tight shot. Let's move it to a place where you're seeing sort of shoulder or, chest up rather than a head-to-toe shot like we might often have for, a live stream when we're having services with people in front of us. And so I think all of those things, just anything you can do to recognize that you're talking to one or two people in all likelihood, they're looking at you on a device that they're holding, 6 inches away from their face. And so make it more personal. Just keep in mind how people are going to be watching you.
Dr. Rummage, clarify something for me. As I was listening, when you mentioned nonverbal cues or hand gestures, are you saying that they need to be more pronounced or less pronounced when you're—
I think they can be less pronounced because the camera exaggerates all those things. I think most of us as preachers, because we're used to preaching in large rooms, our hand gestures and our movements are exaggerated. That's effective. But, I watched myself after the live stream this week. I went back and watched myself for as long as I could stand it. And as I watched, one of the things I noticed, I'm gesturing too much, too big, too emphatic, those things. Some of that I'm not going to get over because that's how I've grown accustomed to communicating every week in front of people for, over 28 years. But as much as possible, if you can move away from the idea, okay, I'm going to pretend like I'm in front of a large group, because we're pretending one way or the other, right? So instead of saying, okay, I'm going to pretend like I'm in front of a large group, instead say, I'm pretending like I'm talking to one person. So how would I talk to you personally if it were you and I together? So I think that's helpful. And by the way, I would say this, just sort of bleeding over, I think using personal language, you and your, is better for us in our preaching all the time. I think it's always better to address individuals than to address the crowd, even when we're speaking in front of a crowd. Then a third thing, I would say acknowledge the situation, but don't dwell on it exclusively. And I'm talking specifically about the situation of the coronavirus and all the things that are going on. And hey, no doubt about it, we want to make sure that we lead our people to pray for this pandemic and the crises that are attendant with it, because there are all kinds of things. There are all kinds of reasons that we need to pray. We need to talk about those things. But I would say as these weeks stretch on, if every time we're preaching on fear or worry or trials or the crisis, that's going to wear on people. That's going to become an old message. And that becomes an uneven message in light of the Word of God, because the Word of God doesn't just dwell on those things. It addresses them, but it doesn't dwell on them.
I agree completely. As a matter of fact, in our long term, we had planned on going right into our Easter buildup four mm-hmm. Sundays leading up. And so this Sunday, we're in Who Do You Say That I Am? Yeah. Caesarea Philippi. And so that's what we're going with.
So you could address the crisis in your call to worship, in a time of prayer, maybe in an introduction of your sermon or some element. But if you're in a series, stay in a series, continue to preach the Word, and not let it dominate the ministry of the Word.
I think especially once we get past the first couple of weeks, I think we need to move into a regular pattern of preaching. And the other thing I think about is our people are consuming media constantly that is bombarding them with the message of the coronavirus. They're hearing about that all the time. They need some relief. And we can give them another message and a message of hope that will encourage them and help them grow in their faith. The next thing I say is preach live if possible. Preach live if possible. And by that I mean preach the message in real time, so that if your service is at 11 o'clock, you're preaching at that 11 o'clock hour, and people are watching you do that. Now, you have to consider your context. Dr. Dilbeck talked about that really extensively in our last podcast, that you have to consider the context. And there's some pastors who you're not going to be able to live stream. I was just looking at the numbers. This was released by Lifeway, a survey of Protestant pastors asking what format does your church regularly put any part of your worship service online. 52% say they post the sermon after the service. 22% say they live stream the entire service. 10% say they live stream only the sermon. But then 41% of pastors say they don't do any of those things. And I've been that pastor in that church where we didn't do anything like that, and we weren't going to, and there wasn't a need to. And so if your church is scattered and you're unable to be in front of them, you know, you may not be able to post or to do a live stream broadcast of your message, or you may not be able to put video online, but you may be able to do some other things. You may be able to do an audio stream that you can email to your people, or you may be able to send out an email with points of your message and things written out. We could talk about those things later on. But I would tell you, if you can preach live, because there's an immediacy and there's an intimacy that comes from preaching live, and your people can tell. I had some people from our church who told me, hey, we watched you at 9:30 service, that we watched again at the 11 o'clock service. I said, well, thank you very much. That's very kind of you. But then they said, we noticed that we wondered because we thought that they would just replay the 9:30 service at 11. And they said, we noticed that you did both. You preached both times, and we appreciate that. So they can tell.
I like that. I think the live part, it's not a corporate experience in that they're in the same room, but the body knows they're having the same experience at the same time. In fact, I've even thought that you could, in a live service, as a part of a greeting, ask people to text three friends.
Right, that's a good idea.
And so that they realize that they're having the same experience at the same time. And I think it's a real advantage of doing a live service.
Well, the next thing I say is just relax. I think we all recognize this is outside of the comfort zone for us as pastors. We're not trained like a broadcaster would be at looking at a camera and talking. And it's hard. Speaking to a camera without an audience in front of you, without them saying anything or just being there, is hard. And so you're going to misspeak. You're going to mess up. That's going to happen. Don't let it worry you. Just keep on going. I also think that's one of the advantages, going back to my last point, one of the advantages of doing it live is that if you try to pre-record it, it will take you forever. You will stop and start and let me fix this and do. Don't worry about it. You mess up maybe the person listening to me doesn't mess up, but I mess up every time I preach live. Every time, every Sunday, I mess up. What do I do? Well, the same thing you do. You shrug it off and keep on going. And that's what you need to do with this as well. Just relax. Your people are not expecting this to be perfect. They are not expecting necessarily a broadcast quality production. So don't try to pretend like it's going to be that. What they do want is to hear from you as their pastor, and for you to open the Word of God with them, and for you to minister God's grace to them at a time when we're scattered and we can't be together.
That's a great word, Dr. Rummage. And I would say a key to doing this well is at some point, after all the details are in place, to get your heart and mind off of the broadcast element and on the burden of the Word of the Lord that is on your heart and your desire to communicate that message to your people. And when you say when you mess up, move on, that's a great word, because oftentimes when the camera's in front of us, we make a mistake, and then for some reason we want to stop and acknowledge that mistake.
Right.
You know, oh, I shouldn't have said that, or I meant to say. But we make mistakes in conversation
all the time.
We just keep right on going. And the other thing I would suggest that I think will help with relax, especially in the first week or two, is do a dress rehearsal. Let the camera be where it's going to be. and that this is relatively the same number of people in the room. They're going to be in the room. The lighting going to be the same way. And just practice what that feels like so that when you're actually preaching the sermon live, it's not the first time you're experiencing those different elements in the room. I think it will help you to relax.
I agree. Stephen, this last Sunday, if let's say you were preaching in the sermon and an illustration called for a video clip or something like that, do you think that that's useful during an online service?
I think if you can make it happen, if your production team's able to work it and do it smoothly, I'd go back to something I think we talked about in the last podcast, and that is just ask yourself the question, what can we do well? What do we have the capabilities of doing? And if it stretches you or if it's beyond your capabilities, I wouldn't mess with it. I wouldn't try it. The most compelling thing, I think, on one of these videos is going to be, I'm talking about you preaching. The most compelling thing about you preaching online is you preaching. Just you bringing the word and addressing your people. And so that's what I'd say. So the last thing that I'm thinking about is presenting the gospel. Every time I preach, when I'm in front of a congregation, I know I want to present the gospel and give people opportunity to respond. And as I preach for video, I also want to present the gospel and give opportunities for people to respond to the message of Christ. And just to look for that and to keep that in front of my own thinking as I'm preaching. I'll tell you, this past week, as we were getting ready to start doing these live stream services, my wife Michelle was sitting with me in both services. She sat there on the front row and sang with every song while the worship leaders were singing both services. She just sang. She was there. But I'd been thinking about so many things about looking at this camera and doing all these things I've got to do. And I'm just so thankful. She said, "Hey, make sure you give people make sure you give an invitation and give people an opportunity to trust Jesus."
Yeah.
And man, that was just from the Holy Spirit of God that my wife would remind me of that, because sometimes we're thinking about all these things. There are more lost people. There are potentially more lost people watching these videos than come into our worship services. It's a pretty risk-free way for somebody to listen to Christian preaching, right? They can join when they want to. They're anonymous, and they can turn you off whenever they please. So it's pretty risk-free. And there are lost people who will tune in and see what's going on. So present the simple message of the gospel and give people an opportunity to respond, and then look for mechanisms, whether that's telephone number, email address, Facebook Live interaction, but something. Give people a way to respond.
Outstanding. Well, we've been thinking about the challenges involved in online worship instead of in-person worship. Doug or Joe, what are some positives? You see opportunities involved in this?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, what Stephen said there at the very end is such a key point for us to hear, that we've got to be aware. Oftentimes, we say that at a funeral, we preach to more lost people at a funeral than we get to on a Sunday morning. And I think that's how we need to view this opportunity right here, what God is going to bring good. And so let's understand that there are going to be lost people listening in.
That's good.
And you might consider the possibility that encouraging your people to invite their social media friends to join the service or to watch part of it may be easier for our church members than a personal invite. Just saying, "Hey, we're going to have church on Facebook Sunday. You ought to join us. You ought to see what it's about." An easy opportunity for people to invite their friends to be engaged in worship service with you.
That's good. Well, thank you, brothers and pastors. We're praying for you this week as you preach the word online, and we thank God for your service. Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you with every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen.
This Messenger Insight has been brought to you by the Cooperative Program and Oklahoma Baptists. To subscribe, find us on Spotify, the iTunes Store, or your preferred podcast platform. Visit us at baptistmessenger.com today. Oklahoma Baptists, advancing the gospel together.